faith will be lost in heaven's inside. Only dear Lord,
let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we humbly approach your throne this morning, thanking you for all the many blessings that you abundantly bestowed upon us. We thank you for letting us gather this morning as a family to be able to sing praises to your name and to be able to worship you in song and in hymn. And Father, we ask that as we go through the lesson this morning, that we pay close attention, that we bring it into our hearts, we dwell upon the words, and we apply them to our lives, so that we, Father, may be the lights in our city, so that those that are around us may know that we are that light on the hill that brings the ship to shore safely. Father, we have so many in the congregation this morning that are in need of special blessings. We have James Gatewood and Bonnie, and Father, we also have others and that I can't think of at the moment. But Father, we ask that you watch over them, and if it be your will, bring them back soon to us, so we may all worship together again. For Father, we truly do miss them. Father, we thank you for bringing Wayne back to us, for we truly have missed him. Father, we also thank you so much for your son who came to this earth. He died such a horrible death. But Father, he did it for me, and he did it for those around us, so that we may have eternal salvation with you. For we know it's through his blood that we are saved. Father, we also ask that you watch over the rulers of this great nation and through the world, that they may make wise choices and that they may seek out your wisdom so that the world may be a calmer place. There's so much strife and war going on right now, and it's ruining many people's lives. And we need calmer heads, Father, to be able to prevail. Father, watch over the elders of this congregation. Give them the wisdom that they need to be able to shepherd us as we need to be, and that they may have the long life and the wisdom to be able to carry out their duties as we know they do. For we know it is not an easy job, Father. And we also, Father, watch over our deacon as he has a big job trying to take care of us and to be able to do those things that the elders have asked him to do. Father, we have talked to you about a lot of things this morning, but we know that you hear our prayers. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 330. 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth? Because he loved me.
Just like the song that we just sung, why did my Savior come to earth? Because he loved me so, loved each and every one of us so. And also you can read in John chapter 10, 14 through 18, Jesus once again saying, why did he come to this earth? And then he refers to himself as that great shepherd. We are the sheep that he wants to bring under one flock. The sheep that he's willing to lay his life down for. And Jesus also makes it very clear that no one took his life, that he laid down his life himself. And it shows that man did not have the power to take his life without his consent, without him being willing to do so. But also man didn't have the power to save themselves from the punishment of sin that this world deserved. Yeah. And that is why Jesus was willing to give his life on that cross. And we have this opportunity as we come together on this first day of the week to be able to remember that, to reflect back on that sacrifice and what it meant to each and every one of us. We have before us, we have the bread, which represents his body, and we also have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to come together on the first day of the week, to be able to come together and gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together in fellowship, to come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to take this time as Christians to clear our minds, to be able to reflect back on that cross and on that sacrifice that thy son Jesus made on our behalf, to know, Heavenly Father, that he was willing to give his life, to endure the humiliation and the pain, and to ultimately give his life when he was without sin, without blemish, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful at this time, Heavenly Father, is about to partake of this bread that represents his body, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. This we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Would you bow with me? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before thy mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. We're thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he led, Father, to be that perfect Lamb of God without spot or blemish, Father. Ultimately, Father, his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, to endure that incredibly painful death that is crucifixion, Father, and to be willing to take that on our behalf, Father, and the shedding of His blood through that, Father, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we're so thankful unto Thee for Christ Jesus, Father. We just pray as we partake of this cup that we might partake of this cup in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of worship service, which is giving. This is the opportunity for us to give back and to show our appreciation for all and gratitude for all that our Heavenly Father does for us. You know, we would not have life if not for the Heavenly Father. And let us all focus on, as we give back, not just the physical act of giving, but to make sure that our minds are in the right place as we give, so that we give back in the proper manner, you know, to do so cheerfully. This is a joyous time and a joyous occasion to be able to give back. So let us keep that in mind as we pray for giving. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto You, Heavenly Father, for just blessing us each and every day. We know it was You that raised us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father. Breathe into our lungs the breath of life. We know that You are by our sides each and every step of the way, Heavenly Father, that You are by our sides each and every day, that You have brought us through some of the most difficult times, that You continue to do so, that You continue to bless us each and every day, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful for just giving us our health and giving us the ability to go out and to work, and to giving us the skill and the willingness and just all of our abilities, everything that we owe You, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful for this opportunity to be able to give back a portion of the many wonderful blessings You have given us. And we just pray that as we do so, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in Thy sight. For this we ask for our nice Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Song of invitation this morning will be number 889. 889, let's mark that as the song of invitation. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 430. Let's stand as we sing 430. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His loving face, I rest on His unchanging grace. And every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On such a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. In His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. Again, that's Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. I'll be reading it from the King James Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them or the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate them, He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified,
them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And now our brother Gilbert Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody, all who could be out today. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us health, strength, be able to be here today for this service. It's a pleasure to stand before you once again, listening to those fine songs. Our brother Newton has done a wonderful job in leading us in our song service. The prayer service at the Lord's table sounds like you are ready for worship today. The reason we are here is because of the omnipotent God. Even when we are rebellious, he still allows us to go about our routine. Even when we reject him, he still allows us to live and do what we would like to do. God is patient. God is long-suffering. Well, again, to all of our guests, to all of our visitors, we say welcome. We're always happy to receive visitors here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. We hope your visit today will be uplifting and rewarding for you. Good to see some of our members who've been away for a while. Good to see you back with us. Glad to have you. I want to remember and remind you to encourage you to remember to pray. Pray for all of our sick, all of our shut-ins. You know, you heard that list. We've got quite a few. So remember them in prayer. Not our will, but God's will be done. The psalmist said in Psalms 133, verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." We're unified because we have one common denominator. His name is Jesus. Thankful to be here today, thankful to see you as well. Today I want to speak on a subject that I think would be beneficial to all of us. You know, we have members, and we also have those who are searching, those who are needing to find out more about the truth of God. Scripture tells us, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." St. John 8:31, 32, St. John 17 and 17. Those words were forthcoming. So then, we are primarily concerned with what God has to say relating to your eternal destiny as well as mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verses 7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." If you can see it, it's not faith. Faith comes from an Anglo-Saxon word meaning to believe, to live by, or by live. It literally means to transfer your trust into God. So God wants us to transfer all of our trust to Jesus and in turn to him. God wants us as human beings to transfer that trust into the power of the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the beginning of the gospel. It's not all of it, but it is the beginning of the gospel. As you continue to study the gospel of the New Testament, you will find those things that God does require. Go with me, if you will, to our lesson text for today. Romans chapter 8, read into your hearing were verses 28 through 31. I want to begin by focusing on that last verse, that verse 31. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is a powerful passage here in Romans chapter 8. And most people are hung up on predestination and the foreknowledge of God, and they ask the question, if God knows who's going to be saved, why do we have to go through all of this? Well, God does know who is going to be saved. How does he know? Because he is omniscient. He knows all. But God has created us as free moral agents. We don't know yet, but you can make your calling and election sure, but you've got to choose to follow God's plan. Now, the verse that I want to deal with today, verse 28. This particular verse has been a difficult passage for many people for many, many years. And even when you think about it right now in this context, you wonder, how can this simple verse be true? Paul says, and we know. Now, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, the true child of God, but look at that, especially if you just recently become a member of the body of Christ, you will ask, how can bad things that happen in my life be for my good? You can say, I'm walking right, I'm talking right, I'm trying to be righteous in his sight, I'm going to church on Sunday, I go to church on Wednesday night, I'm treating my neighbor right, and you look up and your mother dies, or your father dies, or your child dies, or you lose your job and you lose your home, and you say, Father, how can this be for my good? You know, a lot of people wrestle with this scripture because it is hard to see how bad things that happen to us can be for our good. But I found another translation to help me understand this passage, and it says, in everything, God is at work, working it out for our good. Well, that made a lot more sense to me, because there will be some bad things that are going to happen to us as we go down through this life. We're going to have some rough days. There are going to be some times when we just cannot understand what in the world is going on in my life. But we still must be faithful to God. It tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, a rewarder of them that doth seek him. Hebrews chapter 12, very powerful verse here. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, looking unto God, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I don't know what you came looking for today, but I'm going to be preaching Jesus. I'm going to be preaching faith. You got to have faith in Jesus. Amen. You cannot get to God unless you come through Jesus. John chapter 14 and the verses 6. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, I am the way. What we know to be true. Now, I love this scripture because it lets me know that no matter what happens in my life, as long as I'm walking in the light of Jesus, everything is going to be for my good. Well, God forbid, if my relatives leave this life, but it is inevitable, and it happens all the time. And all I can do is just praise God and get closer to God. And that's how it works for my good. Our faith is made stronger because we've had to trust in a higher power to help us make it through those rough times. In the book of Job, chapters 1, verses 21, it tells us how to deal with losing somebody you love. It says, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. And he says, because he gave and because he takes, he says, I'm going to praise his name. Is that all right? See, that is a sign of faith in the faith. So, if you want peace on this side of the grave, as well as on the other side of the grave, God says there are some things that we can know if you live by faith. You see, there's not really a whole lot of things that we can say we know. There are a lot of things we think we know, but you can't be for certain. You know, you can be married to the same woman or the same man for 40 or 50 years, and you still can't say, I know my spouse. Oh, you can't say that. You may know a lot about them. You may know 75%, 80%, but there are still some things you do not know. But now, when it comes to salvation, you can know that God has got our back. Paul says, and we know. Well, what do we know today? Number one, we know that God is, that God speaks to us today. You want to hear the voice of God, you've got to listen to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 and the verses 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past by the fathers to the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You want to hear the voice of God? You've got to listen to Jesus. You know, I hear folk all the time say, you know, well, it was about midnight. It was dark, and I was all by myself. I was in my room, and I was in my bed, and I had the covers pulled up around my neck, and I think I heard somebody over in the corner. I think it might have been God speaking to me. No, that's somebody getting ready to rob you. Yeah? God does not speak in an audible voice. Folk would tell you, you know, I was driving down the highway, and I had to get off on this old country road, and it was very dark. And as I drove down there, I think I heard a voice in the back talking to me, and I believe it was God Almighty. No, that's somebody getting ready to jack your car, right? God does not speak in an audible voice like that. He doesn't do it. So if you want to hear God speaking, you've got to read this book that we call the Bible. It's the written word of God. Jesus is the living word of God. So you want to hear the voice of God, you got to open up the book. You got to read what the book says and listen to what God speaks to us through his Son, Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Drop down to verse 14. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love that verse. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So everything that we are about as Christians Everything is founded upon this word, and we must rightly divide this word. That's because our faith, everything we believe in, is built on this book. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Hear ye him. This is my beloved son." So we know that if God wants to speak to us, he doesn't speak out of his voice, but he speaks through Jesus. So there are some things that we know. Well, number one, we know that God speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Well, what else do we know? We know that the Lord led his disciples and he leads all believers into a relationship with this book called the Bible. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, the devil had come up on Christ after he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil said, "I know you're hungry. If you are the Son of God, make these stones in the bread." You know what? That was an insult. That was an insult. "If you are the Son of God." Man, that's like saying, if I'm the husband of Janice, or if I'm a member of this church, man, I am. You know? That was an insult. So Jesus, who is the Word, took the Word and he defeated the devil. He said, "It is written." Now, the Lord didn't need to do that. He did that for our sake, because he knows that we're going to encounter the devil, and the only way we're going to defeat him, we got to know the Word of God. We got to use that Word to defeat the devil. And you may say, "Well, that doesn't work for me." Well, that could be because you're not studying enough, right? Not studying. It's just like when you eat 3 square meals a day. You need to eat from the Word of God every day. Somebody say every day. Every day. See, you don't want to be malnourished physically. So why be malnourished spiritually? If you let the Word of God dwell in you richly, I'll guarantee you that when the devil shows up, when he shows up, not if, when he shows up, you'll have something to fight him with. It is written. It is written. Those three words, you can't get away from that. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to entrance into the church, when it comes to your lifestyle, you can't get away. It is written. You got to look and see what is written. Is that all right? All right. So what do we know? We know that God speaks through his Son, Jesus. So if you want to hear the voice of God, you've got to hear what Jesus has to say. You've got to go to where it is written. Now, what else do we know? We know that when we need a saving, God sent his Son. You need scripture for that. How about 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, and then he went on back to glory." See, that's why I love being a Christian, because everything that I believe is documented right here in the book. That's why we follow Jesus. He's the one who died for our sins, not someone else. Why are we members of the Church of Christ? Because he is the founder of the Church of Christ. Why don't I believe any other church? Because there is only one in the Bible that Jesus said he was going to build. When you go back to the Old Testament, you can see that God had a plan from the beginning that was going to come into fruition in the New Testament. You know, when God dealt with Adam and Eve, after they had disobeyed, God had every right to take their lives, but he didn't do it. What did he do? He disciplined them. He dealt with their disobedience. He put them out of the garden, but before he did, he gave us a glimpse of not only what he was going to do when Jesus came, but he gave us a glimpse of grace. Yes, he extended grace. Look at Abraham. God told Abraham, I want you to bring Isaac up here on Mount Moriah. I want his life. I want him as a sacrifice. Well, Abraham, being a faithful man of God, did what God said. He took off for the mountain. He had Isaac. He had the wood. He had the fire. He had the servants. They went up so far, and Abraham told them, you all wait right here while I and the lad go yonder to worship, and I'll be back. You thought Arnold was the first one to say, I'll be back. He said, I'll be back. Well, now, he knew that God had asked for his son up on that altar. He knew that he was going up there to sacrifice his son, Isaac. But he also knew that God was faithful. So he went up there like God told him to. He got up there, he stretched Isaac out on that altar, and before he sacrificed him, God said, stay thy hand. There's a ram in the bush. Wow, you know what Abraham said? He said, Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. You can find that in Genesis chapter 22 in the verses 14. The Lord will provide. The Lord was giving us a glimpse of what he was going to do when Jesus came. Jesus would die on the cross of Calvary. He would be that sacrifice for our sins. Let me give you another one. Isaiah 2:2, or Daniel 2:44, Jeremiah 31:31, Haggai chapter 2. They're all over the Old Testament. Messianic prophecies. Okay, that's talking about the coming of the Messiah. Let me go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. That's the perfect example. Now, I'm going to be paraphrasing a lot of this. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is the king. He has a dream one night. It messes him up. You know, he didn't know what to think after he had had that dream. So he called in his soothsayers, his astrologers. He said, I dreamt something last night. I don't know what it means. I want you guys to tell me, what did I dream and what does it mean? Well, they began to moan and groan and say, oh, great king, you are the one, speaking in Sarek, buttering him up one side and down the other. And he said, you know, I didn't ask you all of that. I said, what did I dream and what does it mean? They said, oh, king, we don't know. We can't tell you. King said, okay, I'm going to kill you, your wives, your children. You can read all about this yourself at your leisure. This is Daniel chapter 2. Now, Belteshazzar heard about what had transpired. And that night, he called him Belteshazzar, but God called him Daniel. Daniel was that great statesman from Israel. He heard about what had happened. That day, he talked to Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah. You know who I'm talking about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And during the night, God gave Daniel the dream and the interpretation. The next day, Daniel went to see the king. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, this is what you dreamt the other night. He said, you saw an image of a man. It had a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet and toes of iron and clay. He went on to interpret the dream for the king. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you in Babylon, you are the head, that head of gold. And he said, you're going to rise, but you're going to fall. He's going to explain that in just a minute. He said, that breast and arms of silver, that represented the Neo-Persians. They would rise, but they're going to fall. Belly and thighs of brass, that represented the Grecians or the Macedonians. He said they would rise, but they're going to fall. Then you got those legs of iron. That represented the Romans. They would rise, but they're going to fall. Daniel said, you saw this image, this head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet and toes of clay and iron. He said, but what messed you up was you saw in the distance a mountain. Not only did you see this terrible image, but you saw a mountain, and out of that mountain you saw a stone cut without hands. Y'all still with me? All right. You saw a stone cut without hands, which means by the hand of God. He said, now, this stone came down the mountain, to the foot of this mountain, and it totally destroyed this image. It came to the bottom of the mountain, this image, and it totally destroyed it. He said, everything that was around it was destroyed. He didn't stop there. He said, and out of all of that destruction, you saw another mountain. He said, another kingdom came up. Now, these kingdoms were destroyed. Verse 44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break into pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That stone represents Jesus. Same stone that the builders rejected. Is that right? Isaiah 28, verse 16 says, therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, all I'm telling you is that God had in mind that Jesus was going to come. All right, let me get back to my sermon. Got off there. Well, we know that God has sent us Jesus. We know that Christ died on the cross. We know that he was buried. We know that he was resurrected. He went on back to glory. We know that before he left, he said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church. When he said, I will build my church, he assured us that he would be the one doing the building. Number two, that there wouldn't be but one church built. That's what the scripture tells us. I didn't make this up. I just read to you about it. See, when Christ comes back, he destroys all these other kingdoms. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15 and the verses 13, Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, which is the church. So, wherever you see the word church, you can use the word body. Wherever you see the word body, you can use the word church. That's what he told us. The Lord's church has but one head. No bunch of cardinals, no archbishops, and all of that. That's not in the makeup of the Lord's church. Christ's has in his church elders, deacons, evangelists, members. That's all. According to Scripture, in the Lord's church you have elders, deacons, evangelists, members. You don't find archbishops. You don't find a Holy Father. You don't find cardinals. You don't find a priest who cannot marry. Hello. Peter had a wife. I said Peter had a wife. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, they are the preachers, okay? Servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints, those who are the members. I hope you all are following all of this. So you got the elders, the deacons, the evangelists, members, with the bishop and the deacon. Now that word bishop, that is interchangeable. It also means elder, pastor, but he's talking about those who shepherd over the flock. That's what's in the Lord's house. You may ask, why am I going through all of this? Well, you need to know what's different about where you worship and what the Lord has set up in his church. We don't add to, we don't subtract from. Christ is the head of the body, the church. The same church that Jesus said in Matthew 16, he was going to build, and he built it. And so today, you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body. Once you're in the body, you must remain faithful. Those who are already in the body but have strayed away, you need to come back. You need to be restored to the body of Christ. You need to do that today. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending the Lord again? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know?
Do you know my dear?
Do you know?